You're listening to the weekly Portland podcast. For a complete list of episodes, visit pdxpod.com or find us on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Remember to like, share, and subscribe.
Aaron Rodin is the founder of the popular Air Raid podcast based in Seattle, Washington. The show has featured guests such as Andrew W.K., John Carpenter, Jamie Kennedy, and Luke Burbank. Over 300 episodes of the Air Raid podcast are available streaming on air-raid.net. My name is Gregory Day, and you're listening to the weekly Portland podcast. Today we meet with Aaron at his Seattle studio, where he began the podcast back in 2010. We discuss his experiences as a host, the ups, the downs, the thrills, and the occasional spills. Now, this podcast pays me about $0 a year, but I've always said right from the start that the main benefit to this show, for me at least, is getting to meet with people whom I admire and folks that are doing great things here in the Northwest. And Aaron happens to be one of those folks. Let's expand the breadth of the show today and head down to the Emerald City to meet our special guest today, Aaron Rodin.
Air-raid.net. And this thing is number one in Google search for a Seattle podcast.
Yeah, which you just informed me of today. Like, I had no idea that
you're
was
big.
A thing.
You're huge. It's on hiatus, or...
Yeah, it's kind of on hiatus.
I hope so. I'm a fan of this show.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate that. It was supposed to... We were supposed to do two more episodes because I was just getting... It was just getting to be too much. Like, it kind of took on kind of a life of its own and felt like it was getting away from me a little bit.
Really?
And...
It was getting away from you.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, you know, it takes a lot to produce, as I'm sure you realize.
Like, yes.
Produce something like this on your own, and it was just too much work. It was getting to be too much work. So, I decided to end it, and I had plans to do two more episodes. And those kind of the guests that were planned for those episodes kind of fell through. And so I've just kind of taken an extended hiatus, but there is more coming.
Glad to hear
more
it.
In the pipes.
Okay. Editor's note here. Like I said, in the introduction, Aaron's had some fantastic guests on the show. One of which was Andrew W.K. Now, I'm going to play an excerpt from the interview that Aaron had with Andrew. This was apparently recorded in a basement green room at a show that Andrew was playing in Seattle.
So, Andrew, where did music start for you, man? Like, what was the catalyst?
Well, I took piano lessons from an early age. That was the first musical instrument I ever really engaged with in any way. My dad was taking piano lessons himself, so seeing him at that age, I don't know, 2-3 years old, definitely are very interested in whatever your parents are doing or what anyone's doing that's around you. And he was around me a great deal. And it's a very interesting looking apparatus, this big box with these black and white keys. So I was very drawn to it and was very lucky to be able to take lessons from, around age 5 until, I guess up until very recently. So it's always good to keep taking lessons, even if you've been playing for a long time. And that's how I got into music. Nothing really was more influential than seeing my teachers play their own pieces that they were working on and seeing them mess up or struggle with a part and seeing them practice and seeing them dedicate themselves to this because they wanted to, even though it was hard, you know. So all of that was very powerful. And I actually didn't really have a lot of other older kids around, just the way our neighborhood was set up.
Where'd you grow up?
This is in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Yeah.
It's in southeast Michigan, about... I don't know, like half hour outside of Detroit. It's where the University of Michigan is based.
Uh-huh.
And very dynamic area, great history of you know, radical culture there and all kinds of stuff. And they have a good music school. They really do. So
what did your dad do for a job?
He teaches at the University of Michigan as a law professor.
Oh, really?
Property law and contract law and environmental law. So, yeah, but I was...
How was it growing up in that? I mean, it sounds like he was very... Your parents were very easygoing and would just let you kind of figure out what you wanted to do.
To a degree. Yeah, I mean, it was a good balance of both. I think I was very lucky just to have a nice bit of both. There was structure and rigor.
Yeah.
But there was also, you know, encouragement and support and open-mindedness and also a bit of a detachment, too. There was, you know, a great presence, and there was also sort of room to be alone.
Some of my favorites. One of my favorites was definitely has to be, and I think I say this a lot. One of my favorites was Ishmael Butler of the hip hop group Shabazz Palaces here in Seattle. You know, pretty famous guy. He used to be in Digable Planets. He's notorious for kind of being a little bit of a clam and not saying a whole lot. My very close friend Eric Blood, who is his producer. Line this thing up, and actually was the catalyst to this because he suggested that I have him on. So I said, okay, well, let's do it, but on one condition, you have to come with him, you know? And so I said, Eric, you have to come with him, drive him up here, you know, and sit with us while we do this chat, because I thought, you know, maybe that will put him in a better spot, right? And it did. It totally worked. And Ishmael was super open and very, very calm and collected, and we had an awesome chat. And as they were leaving, you know, Eric turned to me and he said, I think that's one of the best interviews that he's ever done. And like, that was just such a cool feeling to be able to have that,
yeah, you know,
in my back pocket. Yeah, so that was one of my favorites. Another one was Happenings. I don't know if it was my best interview or even if it was very good at all, but Bob Saget, his manager, had reached out to me and asked me and asked if he could be on, and I was like, well,
you're
fuck,
a big
yeah,
deal.
He can. Like, that's awesome. So
that is awesome.
Yeah, we had Bob on, and that was a phoner. That was over the phone. Bob Saget, thank you for joining me here on the Air Raid podcast. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your morning to give me a ring here. And
this is created by morning, so I think it's perfect.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything else I'd rather do.
Really?
Well, yeah. I mean, to be on the Air Raid podcast.
I appreciate that.
I could work out. I could make a smoothie. I could, you know, all kinds of sexual conquests I could attempt.
The world is open to you, man.
It's an oyster, and I chose the Air Raid podcast.
That's right. So let me ask you a quick question.
Where do you broadcast out of? Is it out of a? Is it like a like Mark Maron's? Is it like, or is it like a well? I mean, where are you?
Well, I let's see. We do it out of our dining room. We call it Dining Room Studios here.
That's cool.
In Seattle. Yeah, yeah. And we do pretty well for ourselves.
Other people there? Do you have a wife, kids, any of that?
Well, yeah, we do. We do. And they're just getting ready to leave the house right now. Usually, see, we do this, we usually do it in-person interviews here in the house. and they usually come in on weekends. So
I would have preferred that, but I just can't be there till next week. So
right.
I appreciate you accommodating me over your speakerphone in the dining room.
Right. Now, let me ask you a quick question here, Bob. Do you hate doing these things?
No.
No,
actually, I don't. Well, I'm also, when it's something I'm excited about, I mean, I'm shooting my next comedy special in Seattle. So
right.
It's something I want people to know about and come to because it's going to be a lot of fun. I've been wanting to do it for a long time. So.
Yeah. How long has it been since your last special?
Sometimes it is annoying if you're selling a product you don't really believe in. Like when I did those vibrating wands for the Old Age Network, I just thought that was a conflict of interest.
Really?
Yeah.
It,
Go ahead, sorry.
No, I was just going to ask you, like, when was the last special that you did?
I did it, I guess it was 4 years ago at the Skirball Theater at NYU. Shot it in New York. And so then I just was working on some other TV stuff and then a couple other projects. And then over the past couple of years, this new hour has kind of, you know, popped out of my, I've lanced my boil. And this is, that's nice. And this is a new hour that I'm excited about. It's got a lot of music in it that I like and a lot of, you know, comedy, inappropriate, offensive kind of stuff that I mean well.
Right, right.
If you watch it with the sound off, I'll look like the nicest, you know, like your dentist or something.
You'll look like you were just back on America's Funniest Home Videos all over.
Well, not really, because that was to camera, and I always had that look of "please rescue me." So that was that was a different, totally different adjustment. Now this is me, and yeah, but I mean, this is me in my form. I didn't mean to poo-poo your idea. I mean, I'm always supposed to run positively with an improv suggestion. Yeah, so I apologize.
Bob Saget, kind of a jerk,
right? But that could mean also the nice, you can say that about Gandhi.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, he was aloof. He wouldn't get dressed for people when they met with him.
Yeah, he wouldn't accept people's offerings of food.
Right, he wouldn't go to lunch. You'd say, let's go to lunch. He would say, I'm good.
Yeah, he'd just turn you down. Yeah,
right.
Totally.
Maybe a juice cleanse.
Right. So you are known as kind of a, what? Let's see, easy way to say this. Blue comedian, or you know, you dabble in the graphic comedy arts.
Funny, it's so weird. I don't know why I continue to protest too much. I performed last night because I'm getting ready to do the special, and I'm just working it out places. And last night was, you know, was a working, nice looking audience. It was some younger people, which I get a bunch of. You know, I get the young cultish kind of crazies. And other fun people, and then a lot of married couples and older people come to me because it's a weird, it's just a huge demo mishmash. And I don't find it that, I mean, I drop the F-bomb some, but otherwise, it's, you know, and I do talk about don't have sex with animals, things like that. And, you know, don't fart on me on an airplane, just normal stuff. It's not anything horrible. You know, it's not, basically a 9-year-old. Talking R-rated. It's like, you know, I watch South Park or Family Guy. It's a lot dirtier than me. I think it's, and then you know what you were going to say, which is people's predisposed thoughts were that I was on those shows, which were family-friendly shows. But that was 25 years ago, so I don't even, it's like a different life to me. So
well,
funny.
Are you still, and where I wanted to go with that, and we don't have to talk about it too much. Because
I'll talk about anything you want. I'm reclining.
Wonderful. Are you in your underwear?
I'm in therapy mode. I'll tell you anything. The combination to the safe. Write this down.
Yeah, I got my pen.
Tell this to your kids.
Yeah.
When all is lost, look under the plate in the dining room. And,
That's where our fortune will lie. Yeah. do you find that you have been pigeonholed by those roles that you played 25 years ago?
No, now I'm pigeonholed that I'm a shock, dirty comedian, so it doesn't really matter because people love to. You know, what I always try to do, and I'm working on a couple other projects now, I'm past the direct a movie, and I'm working on a new TV show, developing it. I do things creatively that people would love to be able to go, well, he does that now, and I don't think that that'll ever be taggable, because I'd like to keep doing different things.
Right.
I've been going off and directing something for a while. It's just because I love to direct, and I'm lucky that I have that opportunity. So.
Yeah. Can you talk about that project?
I can't really, and it's not done in English. It's in the same. What was the Mel Gibson movie in the one where he was in?
Aramaic.
Yeah,
are you talking about Passion of the Christ or something?
And I don't even know what language. I don't even know how to say the language, so you can imagine the issues I'm having with the translator.
I call bullshit on that.
You're correct. It is an English speaking movie. It's an independent film, and I don't want to talk about it yet, just because it's always kind of bad luck to poo-poo something.
Talk
about it before it's actually served up for people to enjoy.
I've hit that problem myself many times during this show. Like I'll do.
I think a lot of people do. You see something's coming up, and it's not necessarily.
Right. Yeah, it just doesn't. It never pans out when you talk about it, and then you're stuck.
Are you a comedian?
There. No, I'm not.
Pardon my ignorance. So you're a writer, right?
Nope.
I'm
a podcaster and a geologist.
You're a geologist. That's cool. I was going to guess drifter next.
Homeless person with a recording setup.
Well, we're all homeless basically. I mean, you don't go, when you leave this world, you're not in the home. Well, yeah, you are sometimes.
Well,
when you're open.
Yeah. If you so have a home to go back to.
Well, you can ask me all you want, but I mean, geologist is a lot more interesting than finding
you
out what.
You want to start interviewing me?
I wouldn't mind doing that. I mean, what's your favorite rock?
Oh, it's got to be basalt, man. It's all about basalt, especially out here in Washington.
Is it because you're Jewish? Do you like it on your food? Is it because you're in the dining room? Is that why?
That's it. Yeah, that's exactly why. Yeah.
I mean, you like quartz, right?
Quartz is okay, but quartz is a mineral, not a rock, sir.
Oh, so now you didn't study quartz in your geology?
Well, I did. I wasn't very good at mineralogy, though. I'm not gonna lie. I barely passed that class.
Wow.
Yeah. We're not talking like best geologists in the world here, apparently.
Well, are there a lot of, well, this is why I do, dick jokes for 42 years, but what would you say this geology is not the study of? It is a study of rocks.
Yeah, rocks and soil, groundwater, earth processes. Basically,
Are you an environmentalist? Are you a person that's trying to clean our ground?
That is my yes. That is what I do for the job.
I approve of all that. I do the same thing. I try to pull the crystals out of the shit that's in the ground.
Do you?
I do. I try to sift through and, well, my job is different than, I mean, I'm searching for humor, but I don't even think that there's a comedian is a wonderful thing to be able to do for a living, and I'm sure you talk to a lot of them. Cause,
yes, we have.
And Seattle is one of the better towns for comedy, which is why I'm doing my special there.
My wife and I, we went down to the theater and went to the show and met Bob's manager and he said, "Hey, stick around after the show. Bob would like to meet you." And I was like, "Oh, geez, this is kind of fun,
Yeah.
I kind of felt like a bigwig and stuff." And then that all kind of came crashing down because it was like a whole bunch of, like, after the show, there's just a whole bunch of radio people, like, there and stuff. And so I was like, "Oh, okay. So this is kind of like a, just kind of a thing that they do." And so Bob came out after the show and there's all these radio, professional radio people like sitting around and stuff. And his manager, is walking with Bob and he points at me and my wife. He's like, there he is right there. And so Bob starts like beelines it to us and starts walking past all these professional radio people that are just trying to suck his dick, and it was the coolest feeling in the world because he wanted to come and meet us.
Yeah,
this little podcaster, there's something to be said for being more personable and having a connection with somebody rather than just asking the stock, questions, that people are used to hearing. Like, I mean, you can go under any radio program and hear the same question asked, ten different ways, 100 different times.
How you admit that you're nervous sometimes.
Oh man, there were times where I wasn't nervous, where I would kind of get used to it, especially if I had a bunch of like interviews kind of stacked kind of on top of each other throughout the week or something like that. Like, I would get more used to it, but usually I would be pretty anxious. I don't know if I would say nervous, but like definitely anxious, like ready to get it over.
Isn't that a Seattle thing, being anxious? Do you like Seattle? You live in Seattle.
I do.
You lived here for a long time.
Yeah. I was born and raised here in Washington. Moved to Seattle after college. I've been living here ever since, yeah.
Do you have you visited Portland at all?
Oh, yeah, of
any
course.
Any ties to Portland?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Bunch of friends that at least used to live in Portland. Kind of lost contact with some people, but yeah, I love Portland too, man. I love the Northwest. Really.
Yeah, like, me too.
I don't, with the exception of like the size of Portland, like there's not a lot of difference between Portland and Seattle. I don't think.
It's getting to be that way. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, there's cranes everywhere. There's a lot of activity. It's buzzing.
Yeah.
Portland
yeah.
is buzzing right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. I love it down there, man. And your comedy scene down in Portland, I wish we had that same cohesive scene up here in Seattle.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, your comedy scene is just
so you know about awesome. This. It's a big, big scene in Portland.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah. And I've had a bunch of the local comedians had been on my show, kind of more back in the day. I don't know why I say back in the day. It was only, you know, 4 or 5 years ago.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, guys like Ron Funches and Anthony Lopez and Shane Torres. Shane Torres
was on one of your last few shows.
Yeah, he did a call-in. We were trying to promote his upcoming gigs up here in Seattle. I love Shane. Shane's a great guy.
Yep. Yes.
Had a great chat with Ian Carmel.
He is releasing a comedy album on vinyl on Kill Rock Stars.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever interviewed someone who wasn't, you know, like a well-known established entity who really surprised you, who really intrigued you as far as, you know, what they're doing and their energy and what they had to say?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean,
I'd love to hear about that.
Yeah. You know, when I first started this show, 6 or 7 years ago now, I guess, my whole plan was to do that. My plan was to interview friends.
That's how it started out. Yeah.
That were doing interesting things.
Right.
And
the first year.
Yeah, the first year was pretty solidly a bit stacked with that.
Yeah. You know? Sort of evolved the show.
Yeah, it completely evolved it. Because we had early on we had piqued the interest of somebody at MTV and
really?
And MTV somebody had reached out. I think I'm saying this correctly because it was a while ago and I can't really remember how it came about, but we ended up having like Lynn Shelton on, a movie director, and at the time she had done the movie Hump Day, which won a bunch of kind of indie awards, you know, and she was doing this MTV, this web series called $5 Cover, which was all about kind of the Seattle music scene.
Cool.
And like indie music scene, not like big bands, but like smaller bands.
Yes.
And so we had done that, and then it was a pretty cool interview, and then from there somebody else had listened to it, and a listener had, you know, said, why don't you try to get Sean Nelson from Harvey Danger on? And so I kind of took that as a challenge and reached out to Sean and had him on. And then it just kind of
challenge
spiraled.
Accepted.
Yeah. It kind of spiraled from there. Like I found, like, you know, I really do, cause I'm a fan of music and you know, I used to play music. Yeah. I've got a ton of guitars in here. And I used to play in bands and stuff, and like this is something that I can really chat about.
It's true,
know?
Northwest,
and kind of roll into that, music. Like people's lives and personal, you know, personal beliefs and personal experiences and stuff. So the show kind of changed from there into predominantly focusing on the life of artists.
Thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you, Greg. This is
a real thrill.
Really,
air-raid.net. It's still up. It's still awesome. Please listen to this show.
Yeah, please do.
Thanks again.
All right, thanks, Greg.
And thank you for listening to the Weekly Portland Podcast at pdxpodcast.com. My name is Gregory Day. We will see you next week. Please join me. Why?